Greetings to you once again from the balmy, wonderful island of Sri Lanka. That is right back online. It took a little while. Gosh, I tell you, we had some serious technical stuff happening over the last few weeks. Probably about a month, actually. So I had an old machine, had to get some stuff done to it, and then pretty soon they just had to scrap it out and need to get a new one. The new one had Vista on there, and I'm not a huge tech person. I do some stuff, but boy, trying to figure out compatibility with software and all those kind of things too, and not really knowing it all. It got to be a bit of a pain, but hopefully these guys will figure out their stuff with what they're doing as far as on the computer side and the software side. But that all to say, after a lot of calls and kind of working on this thing on the side, because, you know, I mean, we all do this just a service to you, our wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ out there. This is not a vocation for us by any means, but so we do it as a labor of love. It's all out there for you, and as in that labor of love, we finally back online. So, nice to see you again. Nice to be seen by you in the spirit. Nice to be able to spend some time with you. I spent about six weeks on the road. And during the 6 weeks, I was traveling some in Europe and back in the States again. We should have an audio posted up from one place. There was one place that actually was willing and wanting and recognizing the Spirit of God and the work that we do and asked us to come and speak. So that audio is posted. It should be under the title Extreme Devotion. It's a place where we had done some stuff long time ago. About 10 years back. So really, really good to be there. And because, you know, you see what God is doing with people. You see His work, just how He moves, and it's always an encouragement. But yeah, and the travels, boy, I think I saw a whole nother side of things. You know, when I'm in Asia, here things are very raw. You have a lot of poverty in front of you. You have a lot of just life and death is right there in your face most of the time. And when you start going to Europe and to the States in particular, people have separated themselves so much from them. These are these illusionary societies. And it's kind of like, ugh. You can be around it for a while, but if you crave in your heart for truth and just to really know what life is about, those are tough places to find it. And you know, most people are pretty well washed into that system of consumption and materialism, and life is about me and my. And so it's a lot of mind control that's got to be broken if you're ever going to come out of that. So yeah, path of truth, I think God will probably move you around some, for sure, just to get you into a place where He can speak to you out of that. But most people choose to stay, so, because what's comfortable and what's known is what is desired for the world and the people in the world. Alas, what to do when... You know, I wonder sometimes, you know, why there's so much opposition to the truth. Because, you know, most of these ministers that I meet, most of these pastors that I meet, I just keep running into these guys. They're gatekeepers more than they are pastors. And they're gatekeepers of information in that they work to keep people from truth, to keep them stuck in an illusion, rather than really seeking truth for themselves and for those that would be seeking it as well. So it's a bit tough when you meet these guys because they realize it when they meet you. They definitely realize it when they meet you that you have what they claim to have. You have what it is that they hope other people believe that they have, and that they need their accreditations, that they need their validations by man, that they need somebody to certify them and to put something up on their wall to state that they have it. But they don't. They lack it. They know it, especially when they meet you, which is why they can't stand to really be around you for very long. But anyways, they're gatekeepers, and they seek to keep others out from ever receiving truth, so they can keep them in a place of bondage and control, so they can use them for their own agendas, and they themselves do not enter in. Jesus put it in better words than I can when he said that you yourselves don't enter in, and you keep others from going in as well. So, just sad state of affairs. But in that state of affairs, if someone is by chance in a congregation, in a place where they are seeking truth, if you really are seeking truth, if you ask and you seek and you knock and you persist in that way, God will get truth to you. If you're not content to stay in the illusion, if you are really seeking his path and you are crying out to him for it, he will find a way to get it to you. I mean, even you finding or being told about this site, it's part of his way of getting this to you. And so he will use a ragtag bunch of people that's scattered all over the world but collaborating in the spirit, and even putting some stuff up online just to get something to you. And, because he loves you. This is why he's doing this. He does it because he loves you. He puts it out there for you because he loves you and because you are truly seeking. So we encourage you on that path because, it's the best thing going in this life. It's the only thing going in this life. There's one other path that leads to death. It comes in many manifestations, but it's the same old thing. And if you've had anything to do with that or seen anything around that, you know that that's not it. So in the midst of all the stuff we go through, in the midst of the trials and the tribulations, if we use the jargon, in the midst of the crap that you face on a day in and day out, and even when there's not something externally hitting you in the spirit, the pressing that you feel when it's like, God, this sucks. Okay, in the midst of all that, what's going on? In the midst of all of that, why would we go through that? Okay, Romans chapter 8. Let's check this out. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So two different paths going on here. Two different ways. The way of flesh, the way of Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. The key is through the Spirit. You cannot do it in your own self-will. You cannot do it in your own ability. If you try to mortify the deeds of the body in yourself by your own willpower, you're stuck. It is the Spirit of God that kills that in you. It's the Spirit of God that breathes new life into you in those areas. So you have to give it over to Him. All right, let's keep going. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Here you go. So contrast that to John 10, my sheep know my voice. That's then. So his sheep know his voice, they follow him, they won't follow another. So, and those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So same thing. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So everything in this world is going through these birth pains. Verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the redemption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we ought to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groans which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So that Spirit that's inside of you, He is praying for you. He is doing that for you. Verse 28, here's, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Okay. Oh gosh, how many times have we heard that verse? Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that who are called according to His purpose. Oh, they love to throw this around every time you face anything in life. Every time you start to go through something, every time something touches you in this world, every time something does not work out according to the plans that you so a business crashes, or something happens to your cousins, or you, well, maybe you don't care about your cousins, maybe you do, but life throws you something that doesn't quite work, and for success in this world. And then when that happens, the brainwashed Christian church, well, I use the term lightly because they have nothing to do with Christ. Most of them are social engineering organizations that work to conform you, that work to keep you from ever truly learning the truth, and you put your faith in the institution and never in Christ. Heaven forbid that you would ever follow God for yourself, right? Okay, never mind. I'll keep on this one for now. Every time that life throws you a little bit of a curveball, and something comes up that this one has thrown out. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Okay, right. So, then let's jump back a little bit. Verse 18 says, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Who? The ones who are following God. The suffering that we are taken on, the path that we're taken on, has suffering. What did Jesus say? "In this world ye shall have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world." He promised it to you. If you are following Christ, you will, for sure, be taken through suffering. It's part of it. It's part of the walk. And what does this... But here's... The kicker is, this things that we go through, the things that we face, when... See, the misapplication of this scripture is to say, oh, okay, your business didn't work out, and so now he's going to take it, and he's going to make this somehow, you're going to get another business, and it's going to be even better than the last one. And no, see, when you go through, when you face these things, when you come through the ringer with life, what happens is it chips away at you. These things chip away. They force you to go deep. He allows you. He takes you deep. The kingdom is within. So He takes you deeper and deeper with each one of these experiences that touch you. And the good that's worked out of them is what happens is they take you to a deeper depth of the soul. You've got to go through some stuff to meet the Father. You've got to go through some stuff to find out that in the depths of despair, He's there. So He takes you. He allows life to touch you like that. He allows things to come your way like that. Now, He won't allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. He won't allow you to have this... He keeps it from taking you out. But He allows it to go through you. He allows it to hit you hard. He allows you to go through it. So when you do, it what it does, though, if you will hold on to Him, if you will go through this with Him, is He reveals Himself in you. So all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Because what do? Well, all the things that we face, all the suffering, all of the pain, what it does, the good that it works out, is revealing Christ in us. It's the path that He takes you. Part of that path is chipping away and revealing every aspect of who you are. And you see, so sometimes what happens, well, with me, I've noticed, is the things that God will allow to come into my life and for me to have to deal with, they reveal areas in my own character that have yet, in who I am, that have yet to be truly given over to the Lordship and the touch and the hand of the Father. And stuff that maybe I didn't ever want to deal with. I didn't want to deal with those issues. I didn't want to deal with the past that way. I didn't want to deal with aspects of my character that way. I didn't want those things to be revealed and brought out. He allows life to happen to show those. So just like the rich young ruler that came to Jesus and said, Master, you know, what do I got to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus went through some stuff with him. And so he went through a little list with him, and the guy said, "Yep, I've done all those, Jesus. What else do I need to do?" And he said, "Well, if you want to be perfect, all right, let's dig a little deeper. Go sell everything that you got and come follow me. And then come follow me." The then being, let's deal with this issue that's still keeping you from truly following me, from truly being one of my disciples, from truly being one of those who are led by the Spirit, one of those who follow Him. And he couldn't do it. He didn't want it, because at that he hit his point of limitation. He hit his point of limitation, and where did he go? He went back to the world. Because in that place, there was a place of security, there was a place of the known, and he said he had much wealth. Wealthy in the world, spiritually bankrupt. Yeah, that's the case of most. Because when your expectations are not met, when things don't come through like you thought they should, when things don't happen the way that you felt that they should work out for you because you're following Jesus, right? So everything should work for you now, right? In this world. And then it's like they hit that point of limitation and, I'm done. Going back, it didn't work, right? No. You have to go deeper. And you have to let the Spirit of God take you deeper. You see, the Spirit of God will take you all the way to the core. The Spirit of God will allow life, He will lead you in a path where life will chip away at you to the point where there's nothing left but Christ in you, the hope of glory. The path that we're on is a revelation of the Spirit. Now, I am not talking about you working some job that, which in the world that sucks, and every day you go there and you're like, oh, praise Jesus. No. For a lot of you, God will pull you out of those situations anyways. And He will you don't search your heart. Be real with the Father. Be real with Him. You know if you are doing what He would have you to do. You know if you're in the place where He wants you to be. You have peace in that. If you do, go with it. If not, what are you still doing there? Get out. And go where He'd have you to be. Walk where He'd have you to be. But it's not as much a position in the natural as it is a position in spirit. It's not as much a position in your physical location ever as it is your heart and your intentions and your motivation and the core of who you are in spirit, because the world of spirit is what's real anyways. The world of what you see, the world that you can taste and touch and feel, is all in the illusion. It's a very real dream, very real looking dream, but it's still an illusion. Let's keep going with this. We might as well finish the chapter for today. For whom He did foreknow, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might... here we go. For whom He did foreknow, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Okay, that's the good that's worked out. There you go. The good that's worked out in you and all the things that happen to you is when you are walking in the Spirit, going through it, that when you go through it in the Spirit, you are transformed into the image of Christ Jesus. So you go through, and He goes through with you, you get chipped off, the you that was you gets burned away in the fire, and it is the gold, it is that precious Christ in you revealed through you. See, to become an ambassador of Him is a work of the Spirit. And He does that. He trains you up. See, God trains His own. Secular institutions train their own as well. The world trains their own as well. They discipline and empower and raise up and exalt their own as well. But God trains His. And His training is rough. Most people left Jesus when it got tough. There's one point Jesus gave a word that was rough, and they turned around and they were all gone except the 12. He looked to the 12 and said, "Well, where are you going to go? You guys going to leave me too?" And they said to Him, "Where else will we go, Lord Jesus? You've got the words of eternal life." So what they did recognize was that he had the goods. And even if it got rough, they wanted to stay that track. Now, in their flesh, they still weren't able to do that. Because later on, they all ran away. When it got really rough, they all ran away. But the work of the Spirit in them down the line was that they were transformed into, they were conformed to the image of His Son. That's what you read in the book of Acts. That's what you see in the book of Acts, is men and women of God who were transformed by the power of the Spirit, conformed into the image of His Son. That is a Christian. A Christ-like one. Not what you go to on Sunday. You know I'm telling you the truth. But anyways, the truth is not welcome in most of the places where you go on Sunday. So that's why you come in here. But it's okay. We welcome you. You can tell them too. I do not mind. We have sons of pastors writing us. And had one guy write me recently, and he was just like, I'm the son of a pastor, but I know it's off, and the stuff that he sees and the stuff he knows not, and it's like, look, brother, you just gotta follow Christ for yourself. You have to know the truth for yourself. Do not put your faith in the institution. And you gotta know Him for yourself. And if he's gonna take you away, that you may lose everything that you hold dear right now. When that happens, just keep going. But know that it's the Father that you're serving. Because you can't broker a deal with the world. The world wants all of you too. God and the world are absolute in that they both want you in totality. Now the world will use you and spit you out, but the Father, He redeems, He restores. He creates a perfect bride out of all that's happened and washes us clean by His Son. Verse 29, keep going. For whom He did foreknow, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestine, them He also called. To whom He called, them He also justified. And to whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, yes. Beautiful. If God be for us, who then can be against us? Oh, but here's the other side of that too. If God be against you, who can help you? See, God, if God is for us, who can be against us? Alright, they might think. And He gives them a window of that. He allows them to live in that strong delusion, is what He calls it. He says, because they refuse to love the truth, He gives them over to a lie, a strong delusion, that they may have received a lie, that they may be damned. He gives them that. So for a little while, they get that belief in their own hearts, and they grab hold of it, that they can in fact be against us, that they can in fact be against God. And He just lets them have it long enough for them to seal themselves up in it. But for us, who can be against us? Well, I mean, ain't no success for them. Ultimately, success in the world is success in an illusion. It's like building a really nice sandcastle right next to the beach when the tide's about to come in. Oh, it looks great. Oh, great, great sandcastle. Beautiful. Oh, oops. There it went. Sorry. Gone. Too bad. Sucks to be you. Verse 32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Take that to heart and go with it this day. I'm going to read that one more time. For you, for all the stuff that you are going through, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Yeah, beautiful. Through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present nor things to come, neither height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father God, I pray right now this day for my brothers and my sisters in Christ, Lord, those that we fellowship with. Father, I just pray, Lord, your blessing on their lives this day. Father, I pray that you would strengthen them, Lord, in the trials that they face right now. Father, I pray, we pray together, Lord, in the Spirit. We boldly come before your throne of grace, knowing, Lord, that you have us, Father. And Lord, we pray right now, Father, for the strength of your Spirit, Lord, that we would not falter or fail. But Lord, that we would overcome. That we would overcome by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that you that began a good work in us would carry it out to completion, Father. That you would raise up, Lord, your people. Raise up, Lord, your church. Raise up, Father, those that love you, Father, in this time. To walk and to shine, Father. Let them shine for you, Father. Lord, let that light shine, Lord, in the darkness, Father. I pray, Lord, your blessing on them. Lord, I pray your peace that passes all understanding would guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, I love you. I'll check back in with you sometime soon. We are back up and we are going. So, God bless you. Love you. Talk to you later. Bye.